a good Thursday morning to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. As we come to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocky Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Mike Pete, thank you across the way. Bogus with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go and get to a little Browns football. Dustin Fox will join us a little later on in the program from the Fan in Cleveland. He'll join Taz and myself coming your way in the third and final hour. What's going on, Taz? Good Thursday, bud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Moose, it's good, man. Not too hot, not too cold, no rain. Everything's good weather-wise. We should be fine on that front. As far as your sports content and entertainment, this is the place you want to be, as they say, for the next 3 hours. Because Moose and I will bring it like we always do.
No question about it. So it'll be certainly a good show. We got plenty to get into, no doubt about it. We'll mix in a little NFL as we'll go camping a little bit later on in the program. But, interesting day yesterday where you had some comments by Steve Kerr and also the introduction of both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard out there in Los Angeles with the Clippers in their introductory news conference and press conference. But let's get to the comments by Steve Kerr first and foremost, which has been a fascinating offseason for the association where, parity is now the word and people are debating who are the best dynamic duos in the NBA. Here's the Golden State Warriors head coach who, coming off an NBA Finals loss, Durant now a Brooklyn Net, Klay Thompson undergoing ACL surgery as he begins the recovery process, and the recovery process, I should say, is ongoing. Here's Kerr, the head coach, talking about the Anthony Davis trade demand down in New Orleans. Take a listen.
As a former player, I always sort of lean towards player empowerment. Guys who have earned their right to free agency, if they want to make a move and make a move for their own careers, I'm all for it. They've earned that right. My only issue is when a player who's under contract decides not to honor the contract. I think that's a problem, and that's something that could really affect the league. I think I think there's a way to move and there's a way to not move.
Well, I mean, and he would go on and add to it. Let's hear, and this is courtesy of the Warriors Insider podcast. Here's a little bit more from the Warriors head coach.
I'm not even talking about in the off season if a team like Oklahoma City decides to go a new direction and they sort of mutually decide to part ways with Russell, and Russell wants to move on. To me, that's a different deal. I'm talking more about the Anthony Davis situation, where a guy's perfectly healthy and got a couple years left on his deal, and says, "I want to leave."
Yeah,
I think that's a real problem that the league has to address, that the players have to be careful with. To me, when you sign on that dotted line, you owe your effort and your play to that team, to that city, to the fans. And then it's completely your right to leave as a free agent. But if you sign the contract, then you should be bound to that contract.
Well, I mean, it's interesting when you listen to Kerr in terms of there's a number of ways to go. What hits you, Taz, when you hear what the Warriors head coach has to say?
Moose, the first thing that hits me is I'm very surprised he mentioned someone by name in Anthony Davis, who's, playing for the Lakers now. Yeah, that surprised me, that he mentioned a player by name. And that's the first thing that jumped out. The other thing is, I don't want to say I disagree with anything he's saying, but I think it's a little bit ambitious to think that we live in a perfect world, a perfect sports society where men or women sign contracts and people just, okay, I have a 2-year deal, I'm going to be noble, great, hardworking, and do the 2 years, and then if I'm a free agent, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't always go down. It's not a perfect world. People want to leave sometimes. It happens. I'm not saying it's right. I'm surprised that Kerr, as successful as a player and obviously the head coach of the Warriors, and he seems like a sharp guy, would be so perplexed and surprised and disappointed that players do this. This is something that's going to be very difficult to change. I mean, to stop people from doing this.
You're not going to be able to stop it, but do you think it's a problem?
I don't think it's a problem. I mean, as a former athlete who signed contracts, and I was at a place after my third contract that I wanted out at that time, and I was able to get out a little bit earlier. So I kind of been in that position. I don't think it's a problem. I could see why some would think it's a problem, but I'm looking at it as the athlete. I don't think it's a problem. As a fan, if I'm a fan of, you know, the Pelicans, and Anthony Davis is on the team like he was, and then you can see he's, you know, whatever, he's mailed in, he don't want to be there, it's public, he don't want to be there. Yeah, that would bother me as a Pelican fan. And then now I know, now well, then next you know, he's gone in the Lakers. But I don't think it's like a problem, but I could see why some, not to be on the fence, but I could see why some would think it's a problem.
Okay.
You know, do you see it as a problem?
Well, I do think there's something, you know, where, you know, you put your name on a contract.
Right.
You shouldn't force your way out of a deal, or not out of a deal. I mean, the deal's not going anywhere. It's guaranteed. But force your way out of a city with everything that went down with Anthony Davis last year, for example, with the New Orleans Pelicans. You know, I think in today's day and age of the NBA, I think with the I'd say the blurring of the lines with agents and friendships and business relationships with players off the NBA court, which is fine, which is their right to do, but where you have agents that are working, say, like a Rich Paul behind the scenes, to get Anthony Davis to, say, the Los Angeles Lakers, where his other big-time representative, LeBron James, is playing, you know, I do think that's a problem. I mean, I do think where, you know, that's an issue. When LeBron James is getting scolded by the NBA for openly talking about playing with Anthony Davis, publicly flirting with Anthony Davis when he's under a contract with another organization.
Right.
Like,
that is a problem. I agree with you.
That's a problem.
I agree.
And so I think when you look at that entire situation, Taz, for Davis as an example, the way that it plays out,
that's a good point.
People could be unhappy for a number of different reasons.
That's exactly it.
Right, but so it's not exactly like you paint it with one broad brush. You can't say, well, once you sign a deal, it's got to be lock, stock, and barrel, right? Because there are guys that force their way out of a particular city because they want to be closer to home. There might be an issue with the family. There might be a health issue with the family. We've seen that before in the past, right? Wasn't it Derek Fisher with his daughter? I believe was dealing with ocular cancer. And he wanted to be closer in a city, Taz, where his daughter was going to be receiving the treatment that she needed to receive at the time. And he forced his way out of a particular city.
I have no problem with that.
No problem with that. Yeah. Right now, you look at the Anthony Davis situation. You say, well, you know, it does reek a little bit.
You're saying because the agent is like, it's sketchy stuff going on.
Right.
He's working the angles with both teams, to get him out of the deal.
Right, correct. I mean, you know, when you have LeBron making the public comments that he was making, but you know, I think. I think you're frustrated with an organization if they don't build a team right around you, if you're not winning, if you feel like you're not going anywhere, if you can see the light and want to put yourself in a better winning situation. I get that. I understand it. But then you also have to, you know, you have to have that understanding when you sign that contract to have that trust within the organization. So, you know, for Steve Kerr to come out and say it's bad for the league, I don't know if it's necessarily bad for the league.
Right.
But I think in particular examples, I think it can be problematic where you don't want it to be a case where I sign a guy to a 4-year deal and then 2 years into the deal, he's like, listen, I have no interest in playing here anymore.
Right.
I want to go play someplace else where basketball is going to be easier and it's going to be easier to win. I'd have a problem with that.
Yeah. I understand all that. I do. And I get it. And I kind of get what Kerr is saying. But I think you said something in your commentary there, a sentence that's very important about, you cannot take, you know, a broad stroke with a brush. You worded it better than I did.
Yeah, broad brush. You can't paint every situation.
I agree. That's a great point, and that's something I was going to say anyways. I mean, because there are so many different reasons, as you just laid out a couple of, why somebody might want to leave a team. And there are other things that you don't hear about that maybe is going on with the team or going on in a locker room or ownership or front office management with that player. Maybe something didn't work out the way he thought it was going to work out, and he wants out of there. Maybe it's something in his relationship with his significant other that he wants out, and he wants to leave. Whatever. I mean, I don't feel and I've said this before on our show here, and I've said it on my podcast about wrestlers, if someone does not want to be on a team or in a company or whatever, and they're under contract, it's very hard to hold them to the fire and say, listen, you got a year left. You got a year left. You got to stay. If someone's unhappy and they don't want to be there, why would you want them there? Why would you want them representing your company on the air with a hot microphone or a camera in their face or as a player on a team in a jersey where people are paying hard-earned money to go to a team, and this guy don't want to play on this team? I don't want this guy on my team. I've always said, Moose, it's like a relationship. If you're with a woman and that woman doesn't want to be with you no more, and you're like, well, I really love you a lot and we've been together for 5 years. Well, I don't want to be with you no more. I'm out. No, you have to stay. I don't want you to leave. You have to stay. You said you would stay with me forever. That's called a maniac.
No,
okay.
No.
You can't force somebody to stay with you.
Well, right. I mean, but
it's very similar, though, to a relationship.
Well,
it is.
No, I get the relationship aspect, Taz, but if you're a team, I mean, if I'm winning and I got a player that's on the final year of his contract and I know that he has no interest in staying, or say he's got a year and a half left on his deal, but I've got an opportunity to win, aren't I going to bank on, regardless of what his feelings, or I'm winning that year, regardless of what his feelings are toward the organization, I'm going to try and win.
You're going to try and win, but you can't. You can't force someone to have passion to play on your team.
Well,
just because you're winning and he's a key component to help you win, I don't feel you can force someone to stay and make them happy. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that works. We've seen it in sports a bunch. We've seen it. Most people listen to us right now probably aren't working in their jobs under a contract. Okay, we work under a contract. So when you have a contract, it's a piece of paper that, you sign to it and you're supposed to stick to it, and it says you're supposed to stick to it, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? If someone wants out and they go to manager and say, I want out, I don't want to be here anymore, well, I don't have to let you out. That's fine. So now you have someone that's either in your workplace or on your court or on your field or on mic or on camera that's not happy and doesn't want to be there. If I was a management personnel or an owner of a team or something, I wouldn't want that guy on my team. Why would you want somebody who don't have a passion?
Unless they're winning. I mean, I'm going to bank on...
No, but Moose, even if you're winning, you have to explain that to me.
What I mean by that is that if I have a window, an opportunity to win a championship, and I trade said player who is, say, an A-level talent, regardless of sport, right, and that's going to affect my entire team, and I've got an opportunity to win a championship, and I say trade said player, and my opportunity to win that championship is now gone.
But what if the guy don't want to be there?
I'm going to bank on the fact that, there has to be a sense of professional pride.
But Moose, you're saying if you're winning, if your team is...
if I'm winning, he's upset, not with his teammates, but something the organization...
He don't want to be there anymore.
Right.
I'm on your team, we're winning, and I'm a key guy on your team. You're the general manager.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't want to be there. So you're going to say, Taz, no, you got to stay here, we're winning with you. Is that what you're going to say to me?
Yeah, for the time being, I am.
And I'm going to say, Moose, I don't want to be here. I don't care if we're winning or not. It doesn't matter if we're winning.
But you're under contract.
I know I'm under contract. I want out. I don't want to be here. So then you could say, well, too bad.
Well, you signed the deal.
Right. And now and that's true. And I'll say, okay, so you're going to hold me to the deal, even though I don't want to be here. Which you rarely see with these guys. And the reason why you rarely see that is because you don't want to run the risk that this guy's going to... You're expecting them to be a professional. I'm not saying guys aren't, but you run the risk of someone not being all in, not having full passion. I've seen it in WWE. I've seen it in TNA. I've seen it in ECW.
No,
I've just seen it with professional contracts happen.
I get that. But, I mean, individually and team-wise, I mean, I would imagine that, you want to, as a competitor, you're going to be there for your teammates, regardless of what you say, think about ownership or the general manager.
Right.
I mean, the one thing that plays there is if, there's an issue on the team. If getting rid of the player is going to affect the team in a positive way where he's not
different.
Getting along with his teammates. But my thing is, you step into that locker room, Taz. I mean, that's a brotherhood, right? I mean,
you step into that locker room.
Yeah. You're laying it on the line every single night.
For
each and every guy. They're all doing their job. You're doing your job. If you all of a sudden, you're not playing with the same passion or energy, I mean, then that also, I think that looks worse on you than it does the organization.
You're right, But you know what?
I'm not saying it can't happen.
No, it does look worse on me if I'm not as passionate and my play starts to drop. Okay. But see, that's the thing. That's the risk you run as management or ownership when you have a guy or girl, a man or woman on your team, in your organization that openly told you privately, but openly, I don't want to be here.
Well, let me ask you.
You run the risk of that person, not performing well.
Okay, if you're the Washington Redskins right now,
right,
they got Trent Williams, who's ticked off at the medical staff down in Washington because of a diagnosis of a
big tackle. You're talking about, right?
Right, one of the best left tackles in all the NFL. Yeah. Right, a growth, I believe it was on his neck. All right, misdiagnosed or didn't think the medical staff was doing their due diligence, right? Is holding out, right? But clearly a franchise left tackle.
Sure.
Right?
Great player.
And it showed, and it has voiced his frustration. Would you get rid of him?
Well, somebody's
not holding off, ticked off at the medical staff down in Washington.
I think a lot of people
are saying basically that he wants out of D.C. Would you get rid of him?
Well, but hold on. That's a very point-blank question you're asking. The example's a little bit different. You have someone, you're telling me that Williams is upset with the medical staff.
Correct.
He's not upset with the coaches. He's not upset with management. He's not upset with ownership. He's upset with medical staff. So that's something where I would sit him down and say, let's work this out. Let's talk. I'd get the head trainer or doctor, whoever's in charge there with the Redskins.
Right, but it can't be worked out. Like, it reaches a point where, I mean, I could say the same thing about the example with a player being upset with the organization. I could have him sit down with the GM, sit down with the owner, try and work it out. But
of course.
It can't get worked out.
I'll answer your question. If it's a medical staff thing and I'm sitting down with the head trainer or head doctor, me as ownership or management, and Williams, as a star player on my team, an offensive tackle, the medical staff's losing. If it comes down to who am I keeping, I'm keeping the player. And I'm going to get a new guy, a new head trainer. I'm going to get, you know what I mean? So in that's why I said it's a little bit of a different situation.
No, I know. There's no perfect example.
The player's going to win, in my eyes, as ownership.
No,
in that
I get
case,
it. You know? I get it. And the player and talent often wins all the time. I mean, that's...
Because they draw the money.
Well, right.
And they're the ones they're performing.
Correct. Right. I mean, you look at it. And we're talking and having this conversation, if you're just joining us here on this Thursday morning, playing off the Steve Kerr comments that he did on the Warriors Insider podcast, and commenting to the Anthony Davis demand out of New Orleans, saying that it's not necessarily good for the league. And, good, bad, it's created a situation now in Los Angeles, Taz, where, you know, the Lakers certainly feel a lot better about themselves with LeBron James and Anthony Davis than they did before, even after they felt burned by everything surrounding Kawhi Leonard. For Steve Kerr, though, I mean, he mentions the Anthony Davis scenario, and he mentioned that he's often a player's coach and defending the players. I don't think, just as he did, and as we've talked about this morning, I don't think you can look at that particular situation and say, okay, that one bothers me. But there'll be many examples or other examples of players that want to get themselves out of a situation for a number of different reasons, and they have every reason why to get themselves out of a situation. I mean, Anthony Davis got himself out of New Orleans because he did not believe he was going to be able to win down in New Orleans. He was tired of wasting years off of his career waiting on the Pelicans to get good, correct?
Right. Yeah, I mean, right. At the end of the day, but at the end of the day, he was unhappy, which leads to unhappiness. So from what we're understanding, that's why he wanted. I mean, we don't know if there was more to it. That's the thing. I think sometimes the media runs with things, and unless you hear a player say that, I mean, I mean, sources to me go so far, but I want to hear it from the player. And if the player don't want to share that, that's his private business. We don't know what else. He might have just not like being down there in beautiful New Orleans. Who knows? I mean, it could have been more to it. I'm sure that's the case, that Davis wanted to win.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you, with Kerr, though, were you surprised, speaking of Davis, that he mentioned Davis by name? You weren't surprised?
I was not. It didn't, okay. You know why? I think Steve Kerr is a progressive head coach.
Right.
That
Players coach, too.
Players coach that does not mind talking about difficult issues in the NBA or, say, politically or what's going on in the world. I mean, Steve Kerr has been a guy that's kind of been a reporter's best friend, right? I mean, he really has. He's talked about anything and everything.
Yeah, he's an open book. Yeah.
All right, correct. So, it didn't surprise me they mentioned Anthony Davis.
I think you got to be careful. Like, if I'm Anthony Davis, I'm going to be a little ticked off. Because I'm not going to say nothing public. I'm like, who the frick is he? He's not my coach. I don't play with him or for him. You know, why is he spitting my name out of his mouth? I'm not in his organization. That's how a player is going to look at that. Trust me, Davis is saying that. He won't say it publicly, but he's pissed. Because I don't think it's right to mention another player, in my opinion. I don't think that's right. I was surprised. I want to say this one more thing, Moose. Also, this was done in a podcast.
Correct.
And this is what happened. You were out last week, and when Jim Harbaugh had the comments, that was in a podcast, some of the stuff that Harbaugh was saying. And like I said here when Andrew and I were sitting here, as a podcaster, I can tell you, like a lot, and you podcast also, you understand, sometimes when you have a guest in a podcast, it's very intimate. So it's like they can say things they wouldn't normally say on broadcast, you know, terrestrial radio or satellite radio or TV, because it feels very intimate because it's just, it's not live, it's taped, yada, yada. So you feel like, you know what? So sometimes people will say things in a podcast. You know,
can have your kind of armor down a little bit.
Correct. Right. Correct. That's it. That's a better way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the stuff with Harbaugh a week ago was intriguing. The stuff certainly on the Warriors Insider podcast was intriguing.
Yes.
With Steve Kerr. I want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Were you surprised what Steve Kerr had to say? What he had to say about Anthony? Is it right? And not just Davis, but is it bad for the league in which players are forcing their way out of particular cities in the NBA, even with years left on their contract? 855-212-4227.
Yeah, and if you had something real quick, if you were in a job and you didn't want to be there no more, but you gave your word, you feel you have to stay there. You know, if you put yourself in a player position with a contract and you don't want to be there no more, you feel you have to stay there. 855-212-4227.
Taz Moose on a Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
This is basketball legend Christian Laettner, and you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. Yep. On this Thursday morning, Dustin Fox will join us. We'll do a little Browns football as we continue our training camp tour a little later on in the program. A little NBA gets us going. We'll get into the Steve Ballmer presser yesterday because it was really more about him than it was about Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. But we hear from the two superstars of the Clippers as well here momentarily. Look who's here. Bogus is in
the house. What's up, just walked in. It's great to see him.
Come in, and here I am.
Yeah, ready to go.
You know, I have a problem with this guy, Moose.
Me?
Yeah, you.
I just got here.
Because it doesn't take long. Because I had to sell some tickets last night.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely my fault.
See, Moose, you didn't know what happened here. So remember a few weeks back, I don't remember what event it was. Andrew said that he bought tickets was it your wife's birthday or something?
Yes, huge Mother's Day. Hugh Jackman is doing a one-man show.
Which apparently was not that good from what we hear. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah, iffy early returns.
You know Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So here's what happened. So when Andrew said that.
Wolverine.
Right, Wolverine. When Andrew said that, I had this idea. I'm like, wow, that's a great gift to give your wife or your husband, you know, your significant other, a gift tickets. I've never done that. I usually just give diamonds or cars, you know, for years. So I'm like, that's a pretty good idea. So what happens is I go and I buy tickets for, you know, Michael Bublé. You guys are familiar with this guy, right? Canadian Jones, right? Michael Bublé, the singer. My wife's a big fan of his for like a lot of years, like a lot of people are, right? I think he's a little soft, but my wife's a big fan of Michael Bublé. Okay, so she's always dropped these hints to me about getting tickets for Bublé. Like, hey, you never bring me to see Bublé. That type of hint. So I'm like, okay.
Not really a hint.
I know. So when Andrew said this, I went way back and I bought these tickets online for Michael Bublé for the Garden. Okay, right here, Madison Square Garden, world's most famous arena. But when I bought it, and this is the knucklehead moment, too many chair shots to my head, I didn't realize that the event was Wednesday night. I thought it was a Friday night. Who the hell wants to go to a concert on a Wednesday night when you host a morning drive show on the radio?
I can see why this is my fault.
Right, exactly. So I had to turn around because I told my wife said, I love Michael Bublé, but I don't want to go to a concert on a Wednesday night. I said, Wednesday night? She goes, look, I gave it to her for Mother's Day. She goes, well, look at the date. She goes, that's a Wednesday, Taz. That's not Friday. I'm like, son of a... So She says, I don't want to go.
Taz at home?
Yeah, of course. Sometimes HSM, she calls me.
No, she.
Human suplex. She, yeah, just there's no nicknames. I call her kitten. So anyway.
That's a nice nickname. There's no way she calls you human suplex machine. Stop.
Stop. Play along, Moose. This is a good bit.
I know. So, I understand. No, I'm not killing any bit. I just got. There's no way she
just had to say that.
Hey, yeah. HSM. What would you like for lunch? I mean, come on, dude. Come on.
All right, maybe not HSM. I mean, so anyway, you're right. I'll give you that.
Taz T-shirt.
Taz T-shirt running around.
Yeah, I would like to see that they were in the HSM. Listen, a kitten. I want you to address me as human suplex machine. I'd be like, what? Like,
oh my god!
Throw you out of the house.
She would actually. She would.
Like, we need some bagels.
And don't buy me tickets for a concert, knucklehead, on a Wednesday. So, I buy these freaking tickets, and I didn't realize that it was Friday night.
And it was a Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday.
So you got rid of them,
bro. What
did you lose
ass.
Money on the deal?
I did. How'd you know? You've done this.
No, I haven't. But usually when you're trying to get rid of tickets late, people aren't looking to pay, you know, double the price. Unless it's, you know, Hamilton. Unless it's double or triple the price.
What's the expression? Took a bath? Yeah. I took a bath, bro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
when did you sell them?
Down to the Wire Jones. The concert started last night at 8. I had to chop my price. For the past 2 weeks, I've been chopping a price. And I had good tickets. Aisle seats, floor, Jones.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they were. How many rows from the stage?
One row. No, they weren't one row. It was like 20 rows back.
Oh, that's still good.
Yeah, it was nice.
Seats.
Really good seats. They were expensive, obviously.
Yeah, right.
And a couple of, you know, several Hondo each. And,
So you took a little bit of a hit.
Yeah.
You got rid of the.
More than half. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, yeah. But I mean, you would have sucked it up and went if she was like, all right, let's go.
No, because I had to be here, Taz and the Moose, 6 a.m.
No, you would have done. No, come on.
We wouldn't have. She did not want to go on a Wednesday. And she loves Michael Bublé.
Even on a Wednesday night. So if you
she gets up and she does her training in the morning. She's training. She's doing, you know, she does. So she didn't want to. She's like, no, I don't want to mess up my routine. Friday or Saturday, I'll go with you. I'm not going Wednesday. I'm like, okay, kitten, no problem. So
my hotel, maybe.
I'm making my wife sound like a real heel.
Well, it's everybody's fault but yours. I did this, and she doesn't want to wake up on a weeknight. So I'm just being, you know, I was the good guy when I bought him. Now I'm the good guy for taking the bath.
I'm questioning the fandom of Michael Bublé.
Yeah, she's going last night.
Dude, you're right. I've never seen him in concert. I got great seats.
I think that's a good point.
I really don't want to mess up my schedule.
I think that's a good point.
I can't work out an hour later and then go sit by one of our pools.
I'm starting to think that. That now, if it was what's his name, because I love him too. Hawaii Jones. You know what I'm talking about? Well,
Moana.
We saw him in concert. No, no.
Don Ho.
No, Don.
Hawaii. Where that concert?
I've heard that name in ages. No, Surfer Jones. He's got a great voice. Got him drawing a blank. Tall guy. Yeah, no. What's his name? He's you guys will know right away.
Paul Anka.
No, not Paul.
Is he young or old?
He's like 34.
Jack Johnson?
That's the guy we're talking about.
Wow,
Jack Johnson.
Right.
He's the man. You know Jack Johnson? Not familiar.
No.
Oh, you know a couple of songs.
You'll know his songs. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Banana Pancakes is one of his songs. What was the car? Yeah, no, dude, it's a great song. If you can
Banana
find it.
Banana Pancakes, yeah.
Yeah, no, dude, it's a great song. You'll like his okay. music was in your. What was the kiddie movie? The kids movie?
Moana?
No.
No, his music was in. There was a movie.
Curious George.
That's it. Boom. Dude, you know this guy. Don't you, Moose?
Yeah, of course.
No, come on. Now you got to be sarcastic.
No, he was big when I was in college.
This is Banana Pancakes.
No, I have no idea. I've never heard of him.
There's another
guy. I've never heard of him.
Real deal.
I'm not saying he's not. I've never heard of him.
No, I'm just telling you. He's legit. I'm surprised you haven't heard of your music guy. I'm surprised.
No,
he's a Limp Bizkit fan.
To, driving down the...
He wants to stab Jack Johnson.
He's a Fred Durst guy.
Yeah, I'm not as big of a listener.
Not tough enough.
Yeah, this is what I'm listening to driving down the West Side Highway.
Dude, this is badass. This is Jack Johnson, bro. Smooth Jones. Yeah, no, so... She loves Jack Shaw. So do I. So if that was Jack, I think then it would be like, all right, Wednesday we'll go. But no, the Bublé, I think you're right. Maybe her fandom for him has dropped. But so that's the deal. So it's Andrew's fault because I had to buy these tickets because he gave me this idea without telling me. And that's where we are. All right, so
you blame Bogish.
Absolutely.
And it makes total sense. I can see the straight line from...
Right.
him buying tickets for a different show.
When are you going to see Hugh
Jackman?
Even,
it's not until October. Mm. Yeah.
But the problem is, Moose, he heard, Andrew heard, that it's not too good of a show.
The initial reviews were not great.
Well, maybe it'll get better.
Hey, that's my hope.
That's your hope.
Yeah, working out the kinks by October.
It'll be better. That's it. All right. Well, there you go.
All right. Take it away.
Hey, oh, thanks, Moose. So here's your report. It's sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. It was Mets second baseman Robinson Cano on Tuesday night, Cardinals shortstop Paul DeJong last night.
Here's a swing, and the ball's hit high in the air, deep left center field, and this ball is gone. Paul DeJong with a three-homer game. The Cardinals lead 14-6.
That's John Rooney on Cardinals radio. Three long balls, five RBI, four runs scored for DeJong in a 14-8 victory in Pittsburgh. His Redbirds have now won 10 of 13. They remain a half game behind the Cubs atop the NL Central. Chicago, an afternoon win in San Francisco yesterday, before which they sent struggling infielder Addison Russell to AAA. Cano and his Mets, by the way, took a 7-2 home loss from the Padres, an RBI ground out for Cano the night after his three-homer game. The Angels, 3-2 winners at Dodger Stadium. They take all four meetings of the Freeway Series. Patrick Corbin and the Nationals shut out the Rockies 2-0 after a 3-2 afternoon win. Washington now 36-15 since May 24th. They are four games behind the Braves in the NL East. Atlanta shut out at home by the Royals last night, 2-0. The Yankees outscored the Twins 10-7 in their rubber game in Minnesota. The Twins' AL Central lead is down to 2 on Cleveland. They blank Toronto 4-0. Shane Bieber, 10 Ks in a one-hitter. QB Jared Goff checked into Rams training camp yesterday without an extension. He has this season and next left on his rookie deal.
Nothing's changed. Yeah, no, same spot.
Just kind of time will take care of that, or yeah. What's kind of your attitude?
Yeah, time will take care of it. Just go out and play.
Carson Wentz, picked after Goff to start the 2016 draft, already has his extension in Philly. Titans safety Keith Byard signing a five-year extension. The new six-year package reportedly worth as much as $72 million, with $31 million guaranteed. Teammate Taylor Lewan, meanwhile, facing a four-game suspension for a banned substance. The Pro Bowl left tackle says he took Ostarine unknowingly and released polygraph test results to support his claim. Veteran wideout Emmanuel Sanders returning to 7-on-7 drills yesterday in Denver for the first time since tearing his Achilles in practice in early December. Kevin Love, the latest player to withdraw from Team USA for September's World Cup in China. Love brings that total to 9, with training camp starting in less than 2 weeks in Vegas. And from the swimming world championships in South Korea, Katie Ledecky swimming the 4x200-meter freestyle relay this morning. The 5-time Olympic champ withdrew from two races earlier this week with an unspecified illness. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that. 855-212-4CBS is your number to call. Fired up Steve Ballmer, and we'll hear from Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. We'll get into that next. It's Taz, it's Moose. It's a Thursday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on your car insurance. And this weekend, it's the final round of the Major League Fishing's 2019 General Tire World Championship.
Yes.
Followed by the PGA Tour's best, competing at the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. All on CBS. So we kicked off the program talking about Steve Kerr's comments. Yesterday, the Los Angeles Clippers had their introductory press conference of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. First and foremost, the most entertaining thing might be the owner, Steve Ballmer. Let's take a listen. Yes.
Please welcome Clippers chairman Steve Ballmer.
I have these these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool. Woo!
Not gonna write for that, were you?
I'm just delighted. You know, I'm proud of what we did last year. We had a hell of a team. Played the right way, hard, gritty, tough, resilient. That's what the Clippers are about. And it was a great season. Great season. 48 wins. Great season. Not what we want, but a very great season. I'm so proud of the guys we have. I'm so proud of the guys who are coming back. We got the guys who I think will be perfect to put together with Paul and Kawhi to really give us the chance to do the only real thing we want to do. I got to say, being number two, being number four, we're only here for one reason. We want to win it all. There's only one reason.
Oh, my God.
Well, there you have it.
Dude, it's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, I appreciate the energy.
He's
level.
Got some energy, man. You got to give him that. Yeah.
You know, he's a huge fan. You know, he's obviously he's a billionaire. He's an NBA owner, right? He's excited the fact that the organization was able to pull it off. He's trying to step out of the shadow of the Los Angeles Lakers. We all know that you know LA is a Laker town, as the Clippers are trying to do that, Taz. You know, I think I do appreciate the excitement level for Steve Ballmer. Who wouldn't want to play? Who wouldn't want to play for that guy?
I know. Well, the thing is, I appreciate his energy too and his passion. You know, it's funny. I will say when you watch it on because I watched it on what do you call it, video online, and he doesn't come off as much as a wackadoo as he does when you just listen to it. It seems like it fits more when you watch his passion, but. To me, the funny thing, Moose, is like, so Kawhi Leonard's on this guy's team, and I'd love to be a fly on a wall to just watch the conversations with Kawhi, who is a type M personality, and this guy, Ballmer, who's just over the top type A.
I'm just fired up to be here today.
Just imagine, because Kawhi is so laid back, Luke, you know, where this guy here is just like not laid back. Man, he is just over the top, just hysterical. You know, I mean, you know, and you're right. I mean, that's a good way to get some headlines or get people excited about the other team in Los Angeles instead of them. Maybe they'll morph out of being called, you know, referenced as the other team in the Clippers, you know, as opposed to the Lakers.
Here is Ballmer introducing his two new superstars.
But most of all, I'm pumped to say hello as Clippers. To Paul and Kawhi. Come on! Come on! Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! If you're as tight as I am! Get up!
Oh, man.
Yeah! That's why we're here! We got two guys who I am so excited to have.
No.
Two guys who are tough. You watch them play, they're tough. I love the toughness.
They're tough. Dude, he is just, when he's telling her, get up, come on!
Yeah, I know.
And his voice is cracking. Dude, you know, he should go own a hockey, an NHL team, because I could picture Ovechkin. You know, him and Ovechkin just screaming at it. Remember when Ovechkin won the cup?
Yeah!
That's awesome. Pete, that was
yeah,
great.
You could listen, and that's what you want to hear. I mean, if you're a Clipper fan, I think that's what you want to hear. I mean, you had the guy that was basically professing his love for Steve Ballmer when he got introduced, and then Ballmer basically imploring everybody to get up on their feet and applaud both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard now being the Los Angeles Clippers. You know, that's, you know, I don't know if, you know, that's him when he wakes up on a Thursday morning, you know, getting ready to eat breakfast.
Well, he's a billionaire. He's always happy.
Well, I would imagine. I mean, you know, whatever. But, I mean, you know, I think it's him understanding of where that Clippers organization is right now, Taz. And it's very entertaining. It's fun. And I think if you're a Clipper fan, you got to be excited.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're not, you know, the ownership will make you excited by screaming at you to get excited.
Right, exactly. Yes, that's exactly right.
Let's hear from Kawhi Leonard, shall we? As he gets introduced yesterday and talked about you know, his respect for the Raptors even after leaving that franchise.
I also just want to you know, thank the city as far as the restaurants, you know, giving up that Kawhi and Dine throughout the playoffs. took advantage of that.
I mean, listen. How about joining the Clippers in Los Angeles? Take a listen.
They want to win. I want to win again. And just it's an opportunity for us to just build our own, you know what I mean, to make history. They haven't been to a finals. They haven't won a finals. So, you know, that was something big and exciting for me to, you know, make my decision.
Yeah, how about Paul George talking about teaming up with Leonard in Los Angeles? Cut four, Pete.
I remember when I was in Indy and we drafted Kawhi, I was a little confused by it because I was the two guard there and Kawhi was my position. And I was a bit nervous for that competition that was coming. But if we fast forward that and knowing what I know now, being the player that I am and the player he developed into, I wish we would have kept that pick and I wish we would have progressed together. And we could have did some special things in Indiana, but it's great to fast forward to where we at now. We both here in L.A., and it just seems like this was destined. We were supposed to play together.
Yeah, well, I mean, and Kawhi made that destiny happen. How about Doc Rivers talking about the fact that he's fired up, ready to go?
When you guys leave the gym, we're going to get to work. And that's the moment that we want. Like, we've done some winning. We want to be the winners. That's our goal.
Yeah, they want to be the winners. They've done some winning, Taz, but they want to be the winners. And, you know, you heard basically everything that I guess you were expected to hear yesterday when both those players get introduced. I mean, Paul George was fired up about being a Los Angeles Clipper. We know about Kawhi Leonard, being his choice and his team of choice. He wanted to have that secondary star. You know, when he says build something, it's a little strong. I mean, if you want to, you know, nitpick with Kawhi Leonard, I mean, when you add himself and you throw and you demand that you have to go get Paul George in order for me to sign with you, that's not necessarily building something. When I think about building something, Taz, I think about starting from the ground up, right? I think about drafting guys, developing young
players. Grassroots of the whole deal.
That's building something. You know, you're able in one offseason kind of, you know, build upon last year and add two huge superstars.
Money. Right. That's not how you build. I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. It's not exactly building. Yeah. Now he wants to say, and here's the one thing that motivates Kawhi. He wants to bring another championship to a city that hasn't won one. And if he's able to do that, I mean, it's an unbelievable add-on to his resume and his career.
Southern California guy. It's cool for him, man, for him and his family to, you know, to come see him play. It's easy access to go see him play right there at Staples. You know what I mean? So it's great. I mean, it's great. I mean, and it's good. It just makes the NBA, as always, just every year gets more and more interesting and fun to cover. So it's, especially out there in L.A., it's going to be great. I mean, between the Lakers and the Clippers, because the Clippers are no joke. They weren't no joke last year, and they're not going to be any. They're definitely not going to be a joke this coming year. So
no, and they're not. And they've got an owner, as we mentioned, that's got a lot of energy to me.
Who,
you know, if I worked for the Los Angeles Clippers and, you know, say I was having a bad day, it would kind of bother me.
But if he's screaming in your face.
Well, he's like, a billionaire owner, right, who just had his, like, you know, who just had his spicy tuna roll for lunch, and he's all excited, fired up, pepping around. You're having an awful day. Your car broke down. It's like, what's wrong?
What's wrong? I just got an oil change on my Bugatti. You want to take a ride in my Bugatti and my Ferrari?
I mean, I appreciate the energy level, but wouldn't that bother you after a while?
Yeah, that's a little too much. Decaf, sir, decaf.
It's Taz and the Moose on this Thursday. CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah!